Namaskar, everybody. This is Dattaveda Pragyananda, and we're here at DharmaCast. And today I'm going to begin the podcast by reading a selection from the work of Sri Sri Anandamurti. And the selection is called The Divine Will. When mind is operative in a structure, that structure is controlled by the mind. But structures in which mind is not expressed are controlled and operated by the mind of the Supreme Being. A man, for instance, moves from this place to that place by his mind, but the wind blows and water flows according to the dictates of the cosmic mind. The movements controlled by the Supreme Being are all from inanimate to animate and from crude to subtle. In other words, they are the movements towards God. We may say that the Supreme Being is drawing everyone unto himself. Human beings are moved and guided by their own unit minds. But even here, where matters of collective importance are concerned, they are not absolutely free. There the macrocosm asserts its mind. When a man moves in a line opposite the pull of the Supreme Being, this movement towards degradation. Movement is a must, whether it is towards progress or degradation, whether towards the man or Superman. Those animals and inanimate objects whose minds are not developed have no chance of being degraded, since they have no choice of movement except in the direction of the Supreme. But man has the freedom of choice between progress and degradation. If only the movement, according to the will of the Supreme Being, is movement towards progress, the question arises how to ascertain the desire of God. Man's small mind, enclosed in a box of bones, is incapable of knowing the secrets of the cosmic mind. It is difficult to know the unexpressed desire of the Supreme Self. But wherever there is difficulty, the solution lies nearby. Every disease has a curative herb near the source of the disease itself. Suppose you have to ascertain what Mr. X would like to eat, rasagulas or gulab jamun, two types of Indian sweets. How would you know this? Being a gentleman, he will not express his desire. And God is also a gentleman. His desires are not at all on the surface, or not all on the surface. A villager may blurt out his desires, but a refined man will not, and God is refined. But there is one way out. Start loving Mr. X, and your minds will meet, and you will know his desires. This is the path followed by the devotees. They love God and know his mind. They tune their minds in the same wavelength and direction. The difference between a sadhaka and a philosopher is this. The sadhaka, the spiritual aspirant, learns philosophy for the sake of convincing others, not for him or herself. He or she is content to love God. Imagine a devotee and a philosopher being in a mango grove. The philosopher will start counting the trees, their branches, and the mangoes in the orchard. While he is thus wasting his time, the devotee is enjoying the sweet juice of the mangoes. The devotee says, God is mine, I shall love him and understand his will and act accordingly. Those who do not love God are also not completely free to act. They have to follow the divine will perforce. Some follow him out of love, others out of fear. There is some element of fear in love also. My slightest mistake may pain the person I love, and hence this fear keeps me straight on the path of love. Man alone has a chance to follow God with love. Other beings have to do so compulsorily. Those who are afraid of God are not sadhakas or spiritual aspirants. All want to avoid fear. God is fear to fear. All are afraid of the terrible, and God is the terror to the terrible. Thus, being our enemy's enemy, God is our best friend. Movement is life. God is the movement of the innermost vital energy, prana. If God removes himself, one will no longer exist. God is one who purifies the purification. He is the purity of the pure. People consider a dip in the Ganges as a purifying act. If this was true, the fish and animals who live in the Ganges would be the purest of beings, since they live 24 hours a day in the Ganges. God lives in every heart, and he is the purifier of purity. So all you have to do to be pure is to search your heart. Contact the Supreme Being there and be pure. Why need you go outside for purification? Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Power without devotion is a force leading to degradation. You should not forget that God is the source of all ultimate power. He can snatch your power from you in a minute. This body of yours, where you are a tenant, belongs to the Supreme Law. He can evict you in a moment without prior notice. This passage, which I just read, is taken from a book called Baba's Grace. And this particular passage, I think, is even a compilation of a compilation of different ones. But there are a lot of interesting things that were said or in this passage, and we can look into them. The first interesting thing for me is that he's talking about mind and how we work under the influence of our own mind, but inanimate objects and even animals and lesser developed creatures, they work according to the dictates of the cosmic mind. So that's a very important distinction, because all the living creatures, you know, up to the stage of human, they're guided by that cosmic will. And they only have one direction. They go from crude to subtle. They march on like on the path of, you can say, of cosmic evolution. So when the earthworm dies, then there's another evolution for that, and it's a higher one. But humans at our stage, we acquire the capacity to use our own mind, and that means we have more choices. I like to liken it to that we have we get an accelerator pedal, so we can accelerate our progress, which is something which the other creatures cannot do independently. But we also get a reverse gear. So that means that we can also move in retrograde and move to degradation instead of to more subtlety. So this is one important thing that was mentioned here about the cosmic mind and the individual mind. And then another thing he talks about, we want to know the desire of that cosmic entity who is guiding everything. And it's not possible to know it because he said, oh, he's like a refined person. He doesn't just blurt it out and say what he wants. So we have to find the innermost feeling of that Supreme One through a subtle method, and that's by loving him. And by loving that Supreme One, then we will know all the inner secrets of that one. And then there's another thing about purification, how to become pure. So the way to become pure is to get in touch with our inner self. So we don't have to go on a pilgrimage, because many people think that in order to go on the spiritual path, they have to go to, especially this has always been true in different religions, that we have to go to a spiritual place, and then we will get the blessings of that spiritual place. It is true that in certain places where people have done spiritual practice over the centuries or even decades or even over the recent years, you know, if a lot of people go there, they create a conducive vibration. But there's no need to go, like he mentioned here, to go into the Ganges River and take a holy dip, which is many people in India do that. And he says very rightly that if the water alone in that place were sufficient to purify creatures, then the fish who swam in that body would also be already liberated. They would, be in nirvana or some, mahasamadhi in some other states. But the fish are just fish, and the other creatures in there are just creatures. So what we need to do to purify ourselves is to go deep within and find go beyond the mind. We have our active mind, the mind which is saying, do this, do that, I like this, I like that, and I got insulted, and now I'm going to take revenge. This busy, busy, chattering mind, we have to go deeper than that. And we have to go to that Atman, the soul, the place where we say, not I exist, but I know I exist. I know I exist. It's the witness of the mind. And that witness is pure. It's not, it doesn't get involved in the ups and the downs of life. It doesn't degenerate. It's pure. So that's the way to get purification. And then a very interesting thing in the very last sentence, it's an amazing thing. He said that we shouldn't think that we have so much power. It's like we have to maintain the balanced mind. This is what all the yogis have always said, that you need a balanced mind. And a balanced mind means that we shouldn't have too much superiority and think that we're, puffed up and we can do anything. Because as he rightly says, that the whatever power, whatever strength that we have comes from the Supreme One, from God. And that power can be snatched from us. So the great athlete, one day he will be in an accident, the next day he can't walk again, what to speak of running the mile and in 4 minutes or less. So whatever we have is really a gift, and we don't know how long we're going to get it. Even like he said in the last sentence, that you can be evicted from this body at any time without notice. There's no contract, there's no guarantee. So we have to, if we keep that in mind, that will keep us from becoming too much on the superior, with a superiority complex. So remember that our strength comes from Him. But we should never, never, never degenerate into the inferiority complex, the inferiority saying, I can't do, I'm nobody, I'm bad, I'm terrible, I'm disgraced, I'm this, I'm that. No. Each one of us is a child of that Supreme One, from the Supreme Entity, the Supreme Being, God. We're all the children. And as that child, then we, from such a noble lineage, then we're also noble. So we have to keep these things in mind. So remember, to get to know the divine will, what should be done and what shouldn't be done, the best way to do it is to start to purify by going deep within and getting to the source. Because the source of you is where the Supreme One is. That's where the Supreme One is. There's no difference from your little soul and the soul of the whole universe. The quality is the same. It's like you're a drop of water, but it's just the ocean is a collection of all the water. But if you can know you're a drop, you will know the quality of the whole ocean. So study yourself, and then you will know the divine will. And you will know what to do and what not to do. And your life will go on in a very good way. So this is what I understood from this little passage of the divine will. So thank you for listening, and I will finish by just saying namaskar, which means I salute the divinity within you with all the divine charms of my mind and all the love and cordiality of my heart.